everyone, and welcome to this podcast, Pamucha on the Wings of Hope. Pamucha is a Swahili word which means together. And here we say, hope is our greatest currency, and we would allow no one steal it from us. This weekly podcast is brought to you by your host, Abraham Mateta, also known as Nikoma A. Enjoy.
Hello everyone. Welcome to this episode of Pamoja on the Wings of Hope. My name is Hazina from Kenya. I'm a guest presenter. In the program today, what is independence? What is independent living? We take listeners' comments. But to begin with,
and Mateta, happy belated birthday. Daku kuimbira inetwa na twangu Avante Lexi Lennox.
Happy birthday to you.
Santa kwangu.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Va Mateta. Happy birthday to you. How old are you now? How old are you now? How old are you now, Vamateta? How old are you now? We wish you many more. We wish you many more. We wish you many more, Vamateta. We wish you many more. Hip hip hooray!
Last week it was Nkoma A's birthday. Nkoma A, we understand that on 8th of April was your birthday. How did you spend it?
Thank you. It was, in a way, a very ordinary day for me. But then there are a few friends who decided to, towards the end of the day, buy a cake and some drinks. And I think we just celebrated it that way.
What does your birthday make you reflect on?
It does make me reflect on certain things. The first one, obviously, is that, you know, when I think of where I come from, how far I've achieved, not to say I've achieved much, but, you know, I just feel a sense of gratitude to God and to the communities that have been part of my life. And you know, each time I think of my birthday, I always remember my mother and, you know, the feeling she would have to say we now have a bundle of joy, and perhaps the time when she thought of how life would be for me, especially when I lost sight. But yeah, at the end of the day, my birthday is usually a time where I take a moment to really be grateful, to be joyful, and to feel wonderful.
If you had an opportunity to say something to your younger self, what would you say?
I think I would have told my younger self to make sure that I go for what I really want. There are not so many opportunities in my life that I regret losing, but I do know there are some opportunities which I should have taken. I should have been a bit more aggressive on them. And obviously, there's something that I continue to tell myself, which I got in some subject which some of our colleagues were doing at secondary school called woodwork. And there they would say, measure twice and cut once. So if I were to meet my younger self, I would continuously tell them this over and over and over. Measure twice and cut once.
This is Reina, a registered lawyer in Kenya, based in Nairobi. Continue listening to Pamoja on the Wings of Hope with Abraham Matita.
Mkoma A.
Yes.
What has really triggered this discussion on the independence?
Independence. Yes. You know, independence is a word that I often hear people throw around. But part of why I thought we must think around the issue of independence is that on the 18th of April, Zimbabwe is actually commemorating 43 years after gaining independence. So I thought we really need to talk about this independence and see what is that which we call independence. What creature is it?
What does this independence mean to Africa? I mean, what is the importance of independence to Africans?
So, it is important, I think, to start by highlighting that many African states, South Africa was the last, I think, to gain independence in 1994. So young people do not really identify with this idea of independence or the ideals that brought independence. So that is the first problem. But independence must remind Africans of the concept of self-determination, the concept that they can be who they want to be, they can self-govern, but they can actually be autonomous, they can direct things in a way which is African. But maybe the question then comes to say, is the politician in Africa lived to the ideals of independence? In order for us to answer this, I think it will be important to remember, like in countries like Zimbabwe,
yes,
in countries like Kenya, there was an open armed struggle where the nationalists, the revolutionaries took up arms against the settler regimes, against the colonial regimes. And when they did that, they were using specific ideologies and they had specific demands. So the question then is the politician of today in Africa still alive to those ideals of the revolution? And I'm afraid, in some cases, I'm persuaded to believe that most politicians have departed from those ideals of the revolution. And therefore, you will see that they are more like what is described in Animal Farm, where the pigs went to bed with human beings.
Talking of this independence, how is it of importance to a young African today?
Independence is important to a young African. First, because, you know, we want to believe that with the way the society was structured, there was no equal opportunities. And what independence did was to bring back the understanding that it is the right of the majority to govern, and that there is need for equal opportunities. In the case of Zimbabwe, I can give you a very interesting example. before independence, all people, like especially young women,
yes,
and old women, they were treated as minors. So if you were a woman and you wanted to open a bank account, maybe you would do that through your brother or your father. But what independence did is that it actually dismantled all those systems. And in the case of Zimbabwe, they then passed what was called the legal age of majority in the 80s. What that act was doing was that it would say anyone above the age of 18 had the capacity to contract, was no longer treated as a minor. So it was more like the emancipation of various groups of people, especially in this case women. So that's how we can think of independence as something that young people can identify with.
So according to your story, you mean the independence brought about the equal opportunities, which...
Well, yeah, in a way, I do not want listeners to miss me.
Okay.
Because the equal opportunities debate still remains a very, very lively one in Africa, right?
Yeah.
Because they are what we call politically exposed persons, PEPs, who still get more opportunities than others. So, but in principle, in theory, the independence sort of like equalized opportunities. And it's said that there is a political elite that has formed itself in Africa, which I hope is a discussion for another day on how do we as Africans start dealing with dismantling the apparatus of this political elite, this new kind of people who have other traits which are anti-revolutionary.
You've been mentioning of this term revolution. What would you tell a person who doesn't understand what you mean by revolution? What is the meaning of this word that is used by the new oppressors to keep the world going?
I don't need to complicate things for listeners today.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gone into issues around dialectical materialism and all that, but I do not want to get people into that. But when we are talking about a revolution, we are just talking about a change of the society that is brought about, you know, by those people that we are calling revolutionaries. You rightly point out that unfortunately there's been a challenge of our new breed of politicians,
yeah,
especially those who claim that they are the sole custodians of independence. Most of them claim to be revolutionaries. But then if someone is a true revolutionary, such a person must be doing things that change the society.
Okay.
And that change it in the right direction, that make a young person like you freer than they were. So you can't on one hand mention the revolution and then on the other hand practicing oppression.
And what are the changes that have been brought up by this independence?
Well, in various African countries, including Zimbabwe, one of the major changes that we can talk about has been how people have been exposed to education. Of course, I know that there is a big debate about literacy and education. So some people would say if you go to societies such as Zimbabwe, what you have is a literacy rate which is high and not an education rate. But that's subject to a debate, because if you are looking at a country like Zimbabwe, if you are looking at a country like Kenya, for instance, you find that there is labor of those countries. In every country that you can think of, if you go to Europe, if you go to America, if you go to Asia, you are likely to find them. If their labor is able to be acceptable, if they are marketable, then we must agree that education was one of the fruits of independence. Maybe we may want to then say, what else do we need to do? Should we continue to bask in the glory of what Robert Mugabe did, or we must think beyond to say we are an educated people, but we can't manufacture a razor blade in our country, or toothpicks are being imported. I think that will be a discussion which is needed, but for now we could say education was one of the fruits of independence.
Okay, and how much is it of importance to the history, or how should it be taught?
So, one of the things that I want to say to listeners is that when you read American history, it would seem like it was history of angels. This is because the Americans have a lot of ideals, including what they call the American dream, which unites them beyond their failures. So I give you an example of, say, people like Thomas Jefferson, well celebrated, George Washington. Those people had their negative traits. Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, but he is considered one of the founding fathers, and he is celebrated in glory. You know, when you go to the Americans, when they talk about the history of their constitution and, you know, that Declaration of Independence, you know, it talks about all men are equal, but they will tell you, no, this also means women. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that we must package our history of the fight for independence and the aspirations that our founding fathers in Africa had at the time when they were fighting for independence. I need to stress that one. At the time when they were fighting for independence, in that way that sort of like immortalizes those founding fathers, so that we have a sense of identity. We don't have to just be moved by the wind just like that.
Maybe you can tell us a word or two to the listeners or to the people of Zimbabwe.
Well, so to my compatriots in Zimbabwe, I say Happy Independence Day. No matter how angry people may be with the system, independence is actually a national issue rather than a partisan issue. And to the politicians in Zimbabwe, I just say, can you reflect and go back to the ideals of the liberation struggle? And we need the struggle for the economic emancipation of Zimbabweans. And yes, no matter how terrible this may sound, we do have hope as Africans, we do have hope as Zimbabweans, but politicians and some business people and others connected, please be considerate of others. Stop the primitive accumulation. Stop looting from the people. Stop looting the national resources. That is what I think is very important as we think about Independence Day.
Oh,
Sweet life. Some say life is not a bed of roses. Granted, but it's also not a thicket of thorns and thistles. Others say life is what you make it. But here, we say life is sweeter when it is what we together make it. Sweet life.
Mukoma, we need to understand how far have independence benefited people with disability.
Well, this is a very interesting and important question. Well, first of all, I think we must start from a point where we are saying people with disabilities are just like any other person. So when all the other people are free, we want to assume they are also free. But is that true? That could be subject to debate. But what has happened is that African governments, in some cases, have been able to link disability and liberation struggle. So you will find that if you go to countries like South Africa, persons with disabilities, especially disability activists, were also part of the anti-apartheid struggles. So it wasn't difficult for them to then remember that persons with disabilities need to be part of whatever arrangement came after gaining independence. But I need to emphasize that it has not been as automatic in many countries as that. As you will see that in many African countries which went through the liberation struggle, there is no real commitment, there is no real action towards persons with disabilities besides signing these instruments like the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. There is no commitment, there is no action, so there are no social protection mechanisms that are adequate or that are meaningful for persons with disabilities. There is still a challenge of access to opportunities. But, well, we must also celebrate the little gains that have been done. For instance, when you look at Zimbabwe that we are talking about, in the past few years, we have seen unusual things like the appointment of a High Court judge with a disability, the appointment of an electoral commissioner, a commissioner of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission with a disability, and a number of high-ranking officials in the civil service in the position of a director, deputy directors, and you know, in the Ministry of Education, I think there are quite a number of education, district education inspectors or something like that. I think that is a step in the positive direction.
Okay. And what is the most urgent thing for disability movement in Africa?
Well, so the disability movement in Africa is supposed to reinvigorate itself. That's the first thing. They need to strengthen themselves, and then they need to champion issues that are at the core of persons with disabilities. It's one thing to celebrate the appointment of various people with disabilities, but if the movement does not check that, it becomes what I will call elite co-optation. So the disability movement must keep the system on its toes. It must agitate the society for things like independent living for persons with disabilities.
Okay, talking of the independent living, in the context of African society, we live as community. Is there any other person who you think practices this independent living?
You know, that's a very important and interesting question. In fact, there is a lot of academic discourse around what independent living really means in the context of Africa. As you know, in Africa, we are a communitarian society, so which means everyone is interdependent on each other. We are not just talking about persons with disabilities. But I think independent living is more about the fact that even within that interdependent community, you have the right and you have the capacity to contribute and to do what you want within the confines of what the society accepts. So it is possible to be independent living in an interdependent community. I know that that might sound more complex, and perhaps it's also, if listeners want, it's something that we can look for more panelists on that and talk about in greater detail.
And now it's time for listeners responses, and the first one we receive from Shepherd Mtsara in Poland. He asked, what is the name of the tune playing underneath our voices?
Thank you very much, Mr. Shepherd Mtsara. He's a PhD candidate in Poland. We are playing underneath our voices a tune called Tongai. It was originally produced by Trevor of the Arts Pro Studios in Kadoma. It was then retouched by Nigel Tinashegweshe of the G Quality Studio. So it's called the Mporofita Rhythm. So that's the song. Maybe towards the end of the program, we'll just play you the tune.
Okay, and the second one is DJ Liberty from Zimbabwe. Says he likes the clarity of our microphone.
Well, I can understand it. Liberty is a broadcaster for quite a number of years, but he's also blind. So blind people and how they pick sounds, I take that as a compliment. If Liberty says our microphone is clear.
Okay, and the last one, we have Susan Achayo from Kenya. Found the last episode very touching.
Well, thank you very much, Susan, for listening. We are humbled. Tunashukuru sana. Thank you very much. So Hazina, tell the listeners, how do they find this podcast?
We are available at Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other major podcast sites. Just search for Pamoja on the Wings of Hope.
And for those who would want to give us feedback, do that through the WhatsApp number +263 772 485 516, or you can actually write me an email at abmateta@abmateta.com. Hazina,
yes.
When are you coming back? Maybe listeners might want to know when you are coming back. When will they expect you?
As for that, I'm not so sure about the day I'll be back, but I do promise I'll be back.
Okay. All right. So that does it for this podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and I will leave you listening to this tune called Tongai. To Zimbabweans, we say happy Independence Day. Production.
saburomo
Chongai, chongai, chongai.